It's nice to have you both, you Pierluigi and you Matteo, today in this 10th podcast of SysAware Next. And the first question goes to you, Pierluigi. I'm not as old to keep memories from the first AI winter, but I keep memories from what is called the second AI winter. And it is now several years that we experience an unprecedented AI spring or AI summer, and I know your company is well placed in this exciting technology area. How much do you worry for the coming of a third winter? And as we experience with the climate change and its implications, sometimes an extremely hot AI summer can be same bad or unbearable as a cold AI winter.
Thanks, Adamant. Just thanks for having us. Well, even though I'm a more winter guy, I can see a new AI spring, and this from a double standpoint. First of all, no area has created more excitement than generative artificial intelligence, so meaning technology that can generate text, images, sounds, and other media in response to short prompts. So this type of AI promises to reinvent everything from online search engines like Google to photo and graphics editors like Photoshop to digital assistants and so on. So ultimately, it could provide a new way of interacting with almost any software, letting people chat with computers and other devices as if they were chatting with another person. So this AI-powered tool immediately caused a sensation, opening AI to the masses with more than a million people using it to create everything, from poetry to high school term papers. And this is from a kind of a B2C standpoint, but from another standpoint, from factories and companies' standpoint, we have AI leading the fourth industrial revolution that is helping to make lasting change faster for companies in, for instance, in advanced manufacturing sectors. In fact, we see that more and more companies are embracing the industry 4.0 opportunities, and more companies can measure the benefits in terms of efficiency and performance. In fact, there was a McKinsey survey back in 2019 that shows that 22% of companies' respondents say that more than 5% of their organization EBIT in 2019 was attributable to their use of AI. And from this point of view, we don't see AI as a threat or a broken promise, but linking to the Italian painter Ugo De Chirico and the metaphysics movement, it's a way to see beyond appearances, to make the invisible visible, not just to replace humans, but to augment their skills and capacity to generate value.
Thanks, Pierluigi. Matteo, this question now is for you. Cybersecurity has not been your historical business as a company, so your historical, so to say, business domain. It is now 7 years, on the other hand, that we are involved in research and innovation projects in this area. How difficult or easy do you see that business development is in this field? Which are the emerging trends? And feel free to share with us any first-hand experiences you may have acquired in all these years.
Yes, thank you, Adamant, for the question and for the invitation at this podcast. Let me say that cybersecurity and the global market of cybersecurity is indeed a growing area. We saw in previous years they have a compounded rate that was double digit. For 2023, we saw estimation around 8 to 9%, which is still indicate a massive growth and massive opportunity in this space. And we also see a huge number of startups start to work in this space. And we also, with CS Aware Next and other initiatives in the company, we are trying to pioneer some technologies. We saw around an estimate of 17,000 startups created in recent years that try to address different cybersecurity challenges. There are some dedicated for the business side, the public domain. Some are for personal security, other for company security. There are a broad range of issues. One of the challenging, let's say, going back to your question, is that when you generate a new solution, a new service in the space of cybersecurity, people, a customer, look for, first of all, a trust institution. So it's difficult for startup and for an innovative company to actually deline their services and make sure customers perceive the trust level they want. And this is the first limitation, and also, let's say, a challenge in competing with well-established companies. We see big players such as Palo Alto, Fortinet, Cisco. They do actually offer a broad set product, and day by day they expand their offering and going to kind of cover each niche. And this is definitely one of the main challenges we noticed. The other one is the service level agreement. So when we talk about cybersecurity, generally customer expect you to give a 24/7 service, and for startups, for young companies, this is generally a challenge in order to staff your people, you know, to meet those to service levels. And finally, it's also a challenge demonstrate that your solution is not an additional level of vulnerability. So you need to go through assessment, certification, that are expensive occasionally, and this is again difficult for business developer overcome and agree and gain certification and prove you're not actually a vulnerability but you are added value. To answer the second part of your question regarding emerging trends, I would highlight two aspects. One is regarding artificial intelligence attack. So this is a new set of attacks that aim to target artificial intelligence engine. And so if you publish a service that uses artificial intelligence, attacker can leverage vulnerability of your AI and exploit this to collect data, to replicate your models, to store sensitive information. And this is a space, for instance, we're working on with a project called the AI Guard, which actually is used to assess how reliable and solid is your artificial intelligence implementation. A second emerging trend, which I'm following quite closely, is regards domotic. So nowadays, there's a massive trend in buying automation for your house. Can be Alexa, can be a switch to control remotely your lights, open gates, and so far. Those devices generally are cheap and easy to, let's say, to adapt, but they expose huge vulnerabilities, and that so far they're not well. There's not like guidelines to make them safe. And finally, another concept that we are observing as a company is the education for your employees. So this is a massive trend that companies start just now to understand how crucial it is make sure your employees are aware of, for instance, social engineering attacks, so that they can prevent and make sure the data in their company is reliable. In this space, different opportunities are emerging. Hope this advantages answer a bit your question.
Thanks, Matteo. And now a question to both of you. And the question is young people nowadays face lots of challenges. And the question is, should they commit to a career in a structured setting like a corporate environment that you offer from your side, so you offer people jobs, or should they go solo and build their own startup? In case they choose the corporate setting, there is a trend now called quiet quitting. This is actually not new at all. In the past, the term was used to describe this was gravy train. So the idea to build a comfort zone within a secure working environment is not new at all. What are your experiences in this field? How attractive can be companies not only to attract talent, but also keep and maintain it and help it grow?
Well, I go first, Matteo, if you don't mind.
Yes, quiet, please.
Looking back at my professional life experience, I would recommend first a relevant boot camp within a company before going solo in a startup. When I talk about company, I don't mean necessarily big corporations, but ideally other startups or scale up. A company like Datrix, it's our company, encourages entrepreneurship because basically it's a group of different tech companies, and every project or product represents a small enterprise that is not a walled garden, but interacts with the others as a kind of graph. And from this point of view, the key factors to be attractive in terms of people acquisition and retention, in my view and current experience, is to give them the possibility to face many different challenges, to see a project at 360 beyond their job title, and working in cross-functional squads like marketing squads, user needs squads, business model squads, and so on. Another important factor is to interact with the top notch as well as rising tech stacks. And last but not least, get a culture based on flexibility, autonomy, and possibility to test and fail and pivot from original strategy. This is what attracts and retains the most from my view. But at the same time, it also what gives some of our workers the courage to go solo. In fact, we have two use cases of our former colleagues that started their own companies. But I mean, in my mind, in my view, I can say not just in my mind, but for us, their success, it's also our success.
Yes, let me compliment what Pierluigi said. I'm in agreement with his initial statement that it is important for young guys joining a company. It doesn't matter whether it's big or small or mid-sized, but joining a company give you tools, give you ideas, give you like some guidelines that are fundamental then to build your own career. Career that can be within the company, within a different company, or within or by opening up your own startup and going solo. But without having a company experience, you end up maybe doing some wrong decision at the very early stage. In addition to what Pierluigi mentioned, I think that for attracting talents in the technology field, the space where we are working is indeed a complicated challenge because there is a lot of competition. Competition is not only on budgets or how much you offer, it's also on the topic that you propose, so the type of projects, the modality you're offering, flexibility. And nowadays also location became a kind of a key variable, mainly with remote working. More and more people, even from Italy, prefer work abroad. They can do remote work abroad, aiming for higher salary, higher opportunities. And then for the local market, it's getting a bit more challenging. Regarding keeping the talents in your company, from my perspective, this is some mindset that we need to be adjust. In the past, you could expect that people can stick in a company for 5 to 10 years and you can invest of them and exploit the knowledge. Now, the new mindset is that you should rely for employees to stay 2 to 3 years, not more than that. And then you need to plan accordingly. So making sure you have always a pipeline of talent that are feeding your company, since you know that the you know average employee may remain in the company less than expected. And again, to attract them and keep them in the company, you do need to work on benefit, flexibility, as well as engage them with new technologies, as Pierluigi mentioned, a cool environment and new project that actually involves them and make them enthusiastic of what they're doing.
Thank you both. Thank you both for this excellent insight.
Thank you, Adamantius.
Thank you very much.